Well, thanks for letting me teach. A couple months ago, I started reading Deuteronomy, and we're going to start in Deuteronomy tonight. And if I don't say, chapter 4. So you can turn to Deuteronomy, chapter 4. What a great book. I read it extensively and with a lot of purpose in my heart. And the first time I read it through, I thought, okay, God, I get it. Because he kept saying the same things over and over again, you know. And then I considered that God was talking to his children, Israel. And as a parent, I thought, how many times did I tell my kids the same thing over and over and over again? And God does that with us, too, throughout his entire word. But Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, is basically all about God's instructions to the children of Israel before they entered the Promised Land. And we know that he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. But there were many, many, many other instructions throughout Deuteronomy before they entered the Promised Land that God, some of them were very specific, you know, like when you go through this town, don't buy anything or take anything from them, you know, but when you go through this town, pay them for food and for water, you know. I mean, and a lot of just instructions in what he would, how they should conduct their lives. So I encourage you to read it. It's a very interesting book. So I guess if I had a title, I would title this teaching, Hear and Do. Or you could just say obey, but I thought hear and do.
Mama?
Is a good way to phrase it, too. So in Deuteronomy, everybody's there, but chapter 4, except for me. Verse 36. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God in heaven above and upon the earth. There is none else. So if people tell you there's other gods, you can quote Deuteronomy 4:39. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Chapter 5. Verse 33. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. So that's the second time we've heard that. And that phrase, in some shape or form, is used many times in Deuteronomy. You know, God's telling them, do what I tell you to do, and you're going to be really blessed, and you're going to have long days, and it's going to be well with you. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear or respect the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Well, here you go, hear and do. That it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You think God wants us to know all this stuff? You know? I mean, he just keeps saying the same things over again, and he wants them to be in our hearts. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Pretty much covers it, right? God wants us to think and meditate and talk about him, you know, throughout the whole day. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. Has anybody ever written stuff on their hands so they can remember it? We used to put S-I-T a lot on our hands to remind us to speak in tongues back in the day. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We hang pictures and stuff on our walls. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land where he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. And he does. He gives them everything. Like, they went into the promised land. They didn't have to build a house. All they had to go do is pick the one they wanted to live in. They didn't have to plant vineyards. They didn't have to plant plants. They didn't have to, you know, raise all the livestock. It was all given to them. And that's what God did for his children of Israel. Verse 17. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good lands which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. That you should do good and right in the sight of the Lord. And we are going to head into the New Testament, and all this is in the New Testament, because when we hit Ephesians and Colossians, it talks about the worthy walk. And the worthy walk is to act appropriately and do rightly in the eyes of God. So, you know, it's pretty neat to see the transition of what God taught his children of Israel and what he tells the church today. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Starting in verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. I can't even fathom what that means, you know, that blessings overtake you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Who wants to be the tail? Anybody here? I don't want to be the tail, that's for sure. I'd rather be the head. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. That's a lot. You know, when you think about it, that's a lot. It's like, he didn't miss anything. In other words, he just wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be prosperous. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be his kids that are so well taken care of. And that's what God does for us. Verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So the rest of this chapter, which is verses 16 through 68, are all the curses. It's interesting reading. We're not going to go into it tonight, but, you know, it kind of reads like a horror story, you know? So, the children of Israel were under the law, but Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law, so we're no longer under the law, and we live in the age of grace. So, because of God's love and goodness and kindness unto his people, and we live in the age of grace, we get all the blessings, but we don't get any of the curses. Even when, which we all do, don't do his commandments. We hear them and don't do them, you know. And that's all through Deuteronomy, that's what he's telling his children. If you just do my word, you know, hear and do my word. So, we live in a very privileged time, and I'm very thankful for that. So, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. It's pretty neat. And, you know, we know that even though that's Old Testament, God wouldn't do less for us today. No, he wouldn't. He did actually more for us because we have eternal life and we've got his spirit that lives within us. You know, the children of Israel had men of God to tell them what God wanted them to know. You know, anytime we need anything, all we got to do is go to him and ask. And he's going to answer us, you know. We just need to be ready to hear. In Matthew 22, verse 36. This is one of the doctors of the law, one of the Pharisees, asked Jesus this question. Master, seeking to tempt him. I mean, his heart was not in the right place. He wanted to tempt Jesus, so he asked him this question. Master, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. So, it's, you know, God gave them 10 commandments plus a lot of other stuff that they had to do. But Jesus Christ says in the scriptures to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Please, do, you can laugh at my artwork. I don't care. I'm no artist. Anyway, so love God and love your neighbor. Now, the word neighbor means anybody that's near to you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be your next door neighbor. It's who's ever near you, whether you're at school, you're at home, you're in the grocery store. You love your neighbors yourself. So we have all kinds of people here. Little babies, men, big people, little people, tall people, large people. Just love your neighbor as yourself. That's what God said. So. So when I was reading the definitions of this in a couple different places, Bollinger in the Critical Lexicon to the New Testament says, you are to love those that are near you, and then he puts IE, which means, in other words, all of humanity. And you see that Jesus Christ did love humanity. Yes, he came for the house of Israel, but he loved all humanity. And there are examples in the Word of where he has, you know, he helped people that weren't of the house of Israel. So, anyway, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. When I was reading Deuteronomy, it made me think of Ephesians chapter 6 because of the sheer amount of times that God says, you know, if you do my commandments, it will be well with you. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And that's actually cited from Leviticus, I believe. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. So in this context, it's talking to children, but then, you know, I thought about it. Yeah, it's talking to children, but we're also children of God. So, and then verse 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, or that word is lords, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing or upholding them. I'm sorry, that's wrong. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So I wanted to read you this note that's in the Working Translation, what Walter says about this section. So, wait a second here. When he's talking about masters and masters, it's the Greek word kurios, it means Lord. What is said about lords in verse 9 is in the context applicable to parents and husbands, as well as to employers and other kinds of lords in their relationships with those who are their servants. And, you know, at the end of that verse, it says, without respect of persons, you know. God is no respecter of persons. We shouldn't be a respecter of persons. Masters, your bosses, you know, shouldn't be respecter of persons, you know, because that's what God says. God says we're not to be respecter of persons. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, that's upholding one another in love. So we're back to, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, the believers, the unbelievers, whatever. And that worthy walk is to walk appropriately, rightly, as becometh after a godly sort. Colossians 1:10. Any questions? The book of Ephesians from chapter 4 till the end of it, and the whole book of Colossians deal with the worthy walk. And there's a lot of information in there about how we should conduct our lives. But when you read them and you look at it, everything that God would have us to do when he talks about this is still back to walking in love. When you walk in love, like in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, when you forgive somebody, you're walking in love. When you're being kind, you're walking in love. You know, so it is more details and more specific, but still the bottom line, it's that walking in love. And in Colossians 1:10 it says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And back to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 1. It says, be ye their followers, or imitators of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and have given himself for us in offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. He paid the ultimate price for us because he loved God and he was willing and able. He heard and he did what God asked him to do, to be the Redeemer for each and every single one of us so that we could all have life eternal. So the Gospel of John. So we're to be imitators of God and walk in love, even as Christ so loved us. John, Gospel of John, chapter 13. This is a record of Jesus Christ where he washes his apostles and disciples' feet. I don't know if it's just the apostles. Anyway, in the East, they wore sandals, their feet got dirty. So when you went to somebody's house, they washed your feet when you came in. And that was the job of the lowest servant in the household. So in verse 12, it says, so after he washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It's, God is no respecter of persons. And, you know, Jesus Christ said, I'm not greater than God, you know, and this is what I've done for you. So this is what you need to do for others. So, James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and that word look at this to mean to like stoop down and really look and peer because you want to see. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, we're not to be just hearers, but we do need to hear the word. But we're to be doers too. Okay, so I got a question for you. Does anybody know what this is?
Footprints in the sand.
Huh?
Footprints in the sand?
That's right. They're doing. They're walking. They're walking. They're doing. So that was my doers. Walking the worthy walk. You know? There are plenty of people that hear their word. There are plenty of people who can quote you scripture, have memorized whole bunches of scriptures, but they don't do. So you have to be a hearer and you have to be a doer. The worthy walk. So in the word doer is this Greek word called poietes, and it means one who does or produces something, a doer, maker, producer, a performer. And I thought of Hannah. So Hannah, when you are getting ready for a play, what do? You practice, 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 and that's a great translation, is to practice the Word of God in your life. So, turn to John chapter 5. 1 John, I'm sorry. I didn't say 1 John, did I? My bad. 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read it first in the King James Version and then in the Working Translation, because I think the Working Translation gives you a better scope and meaning behind these verses. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous or burdensome. So in the Working Translation it says, anyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and anyone who loves him, God, who gave birth, should also love him, a brother, who has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God whenever we love God and practice his commandments. In fact, the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. Furthermore, his commandments are not oppressive or weighty. You know, it's not that, it's not hard. It's not hard. So, and we're going to close in Ecclesiastes, which is right after Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Familiar verse of scripture. Verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's it. So, thanks for letting me share. So, be hearers and doers.
Thanks.
And expect to see God's abundance and blessings in your life. You know, it's incredible what he did for the children of Israel, and he wouldn't do anything less for us today.